We appreciate you folks so much. We really do. I'll just share a bit before I get into the message about what God has done through your support and prayers in my life since I went to Australia. And the first church, Victory Baptist Church, my first preacher boy was Wayne Shimish. He didn't know how to get a wife, so we picked his wife and got him married. He's got three beautiful children. And he combined with another church and actually pastored the largest independent Baptist church in Australia. Now, that church, there's three missionaries, two to the foreign field, one to the outback, out of that church that you've helped plant. And that was the first church we done. The second church was Fellowship Baptist Church. Brother Bob Bartlett helped finish that, so I don't take credit for who went out of that church, but there's two out of that church. But you had a part to plant that church. We had 30 people when he came, and I turned the church over to him. I'd been there 5 years. And so your prayers and support has done a lot. The third church, Harmony Baptist Church, there was 5 full-time servants that surrendered and went out of that church. And by the way, Wayne Shimish is in Thailand as a missionary right now, my first preacher boy. There's one in Spain, James Felipe, because of the third church, Harmony Baptist. Brother Fred Schofield, that prints the Word of God in Lighthouse Baptist Press, was trained there. We started that ministry, and he's in charge of it at Lighthouse Baptist Press. You had a part in that. His son is in the Philippines full-time, him and his wife, serving God full-time in the Philippines out of that church. So that's only a portion. I can't tell you about all that you had a part in ministering through our support, your prayers, and what God has done in Australia. That's only a part. I couldn't tell you everything, but I'm saying God blesses your prayers and your support. And when missionaries go, you've been blessed because of the fruit from that. And we're blessed tremendously. My wife and I, we appreciate you folks so very much. You got your prayer card, right? Keep it. We'll take a bit of that at the end of the message. But let's pray. I'm not going to read the scriptures. They're spotted scriptures. And we'll pray. We'll get right straight into the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness to us. And thank you for supplying our needs, Lord, in our life. And God, you're so good. We ask that you bless each and every one of us tonight, as Brother Todd has said. Help us to make this personal, dear God, we pray. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come." And what I want to say there is every one of you, everyone can get involved in faith promise, mission giving, and here's the reason. Because you get in on the level of faith that God has given you or that you have in God. Everybody can get involved in missions. What thrilled me was when my 16-year-old teenager, got a job at Ponderosa. And one day, Dad, I don't know about you, but I try to be a good father. And when my kids go to school, I go through their rooms a bit. You'd be surprised what you find. But I was very surprised. We had our Faith Promise Missions Conference, and I noticed my 16-year-old daughter, Kim, had a little job working 12 hours a week, and her Faith Promise was $5 a week. Now, That just thrilled my soul. I don't know about you, but that thrilled me as a dad to see that my daughter had faith. Faith in a wonderful God that saved her soul, and she had that much faith in Him with just a small amount of income. But she had faith in God. Everyone can get involved in faith promise because it is by faith. It's what I'm saying. Because you get in where your faith is. God don't expect anything more out of you than what amount your faith you have. Okay? But sometimes we underestimate where our faith is at, and we're going to get on that at the end. But so everybody can get involved. Why? Because God is not demanding. He's asking you to get involved on your level of faith, and then as we grow, we'll increase that faith. It grows. You get in where you are. And so down in the next one's verse 9, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto you." Folks, we have a great door open. There's doors opening for Bible translation. There's doors open to send the gospel to. There's doors open for you. There's neighbors that the door is open for you to go to now. The doors are open. What are we doing about the doors that's open? The effectual door that's open. We have doors that's open. This was open to Paul in Ephesus. But our doors are open. We have doors that's open. And here's the thing that really bothers us, I think. And there are many adversaries. Listen, when you want to do something for God, you're going to have conflicts. You're going to have somebody pestering you that don't like what you do for God. And it's the devil. Everything that God did, great things in the Bible, creation, the devil created evolution, the great resurrection of Jesus, Easter, God, the devil created an Easter bunny, Christmas, the birth of Christ, the devil created a Santa Claus. Let me tell you something. You're not going to do anything for God unless He don't stick His nose in there. And He's going to try to hinder you. He's going to try to discourage you. He wants you to quit. He wants you to quit. He wants to ruin your testimony. But are we going to let Him do that? As Christians, He will try to ruin you. Folks, we have to be bigger than that because our God is bigger than that. And Christ is bigger than that. And the Holy Spirit is bigger than that in us. And the Bible teaches it's bigger than that. We are bigger than that. Don't let the devil, he will ruin your family. He will get the ones you love the best and the most, and he will try to hurt you through them. He'll use any. He had no respecter of persons at all. The devil will do whatever he can to stop you from going into those open doors and serving our Lord. The only answer is Christ, and that's the next place we go, up into verse 13, "Watch ye stand fast in the faith." Stand fast in the faith. "And you like men be strong." Quit "you like men be strong." Let your things be done with what? Charity. Let all things be done with charity. Let all things be done in love. Let all things. Because God is love. God is love. And we need to love Him and our neighbor. And we need to love the lost. God wants us to love the unlovely. as He loved the unlovely. Me. We are unlovely, but God loved us. And saved our soul, didn't He? Boy, that's enough right there to stir your heart. And that's what needs to be done in churches. Verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And folks, in this church, there needs to be some people in this church that visits the mission field and allow God to get a hold of their heart, and they become addicted to missions. Addicted. That's exactly what Stephanas, his family was addicted to the missions of the church. And we need to have some in this church that will surrender their life to God and become addicted and lead this church. Your pastor, he pastors you. He cannot do everything. Think about it. Think about it. Is it you that God wants? And let me tell you something. None of us is capable. None of us is worthy. We're not. But He is. We're not. So maybe you think you're too little to do it, when in essence, you're only not letting God be big enough in your life. That's faith. Faith in God. Some families, somebody needs to take that role on. I believe in every church, somebody, we need Stephanies. We need those families in a church. It could be one, it could be two, but what does the rest of us do? Let's read it, the next verse. Next verse, read it. What do we do? It says that ye submit yourselves unto such. We have some that will be addicted to the work of the ministry for what God has called this church to do. And then what do? We help them. The others help. We submit ourselves to that. There's somebody that will stir the hearts of people for missions in this church. Somebody needs to take that role on. And then the others need to support them, amen, with prayers and help and encouragement and all of the things that we need to keep going for God. That's what a church is. Hey, we're a body. We're one. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one laughs, we all laugh. There's gifts. Lord said, take on those that are weaker people. Hey, minister to them. Help them. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Boy, that's what church is about, isn't it? Or is it not? Is that not what a church should be? It should be. And only it can if by faith we take on that role. I cannot do it for you. I cannot. If I could, I would. But someone needs to take on that role of Stephanas, the family that's addicted to missions and the work of the ministering to the saints. Somebody needs to take on that role. And then the others support that one. And, you know, support him and her or whomever. Support. Turn to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians, and this is the closing three verses right here. Chapter 9 and verse 6. Chapter 9 and verse 6. I want to press this from the one end that probably most of us don't look at. And this is the verse in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And most of us, what we do is this. we look at the blessings of that verse. The blessing. I want us to look on the other end, because the other end is the most important end. Why? Because I, in my faith, join partners with a holy God of heaven. I become a partner with my Father in this thing of giving to missions. We partner. Let me ask you, do you think you could come up with any better partner than God? Or are we really looking at this in the right way? Is He not big enough? He is big enough. Where is our faith in Him that His Word says, you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. I mean, God said it. Is it not so? It is so. But do we see God as being big enough to put our faith in to get the job done? I think that's where we lack, is on that side, not the other side. We look at the blessing, we get discouraged. Why? Because we don't fulfill the first part. And that's having the faith in God that He's great enough to do what He says He will do. And He will do it. And then there's three C's on the next verse I want to read and just comment on, is this. Every man, that's all of us, according as He purposed in His heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know what I see that purpose in heart? I see conviction. Conviction. You know, ask God to convict your heart to do the right thing for Him. Conviction. And there's compassion in that verse. There's conviction, compassion, and cheerfully. If you have conviction and you really have a heart of compassion, you will cheerfully do it for God. Amen? Did I tell you about the colored church? How they take offerings? I was in Fort Worth, Texas one time going to Mexico with Carlos Demerst. And Carlos, he loved those black churches. He took us to this black church, and here's a busload of 60 white people come in to this church. Honest truth, a big church. And this guy, at the end, was taking up the offering. And he gets up. He's got the monthly amount that's needed written down, and then he's got it divided down into weeks. And he said, we took the offering this morning, and the monthly need is whatever it was. I forget what it was. It was like $7,000 or whatever. It doesn't matter. That's not the issue. He said, there's monthly needs. This is divided down in weeks, and we need this much to week. We only got this much. This morning. Now, I'm going to take up an offering. He passes the offering plates around. They come up. Big table here. They count the money. He said, I'm sorry. We don't have enough to pay our bills this week. We're going to pass the offering plate again. Somebody's not giving, he said. Honestly, they was having a ball with this. I mean, it's sort of like they was cheerful. They was laughing. They was amening. I mean, this is the offering. Not many Baptists get that happy about the offering. But these guys was happy about this. If you'd have passed the offering plate three times on Sunday night in a Baptist church, you would be thrown out the door. That's a fact. Cheerfully. Are we really, as Baptists, I know we're a bunch of fuddy-duddies, but let me tell you something. Are we cheerfully given to the Lord out of a conviction of God in our hearts? And are we doing it with compassion? And when we give it to the church, have you seen this? Oh, preacher, I notice you're not spending the money right. Well, let me ask you something. Did you give it to the preacher or did you really give it to God? Did you give your church your money to the church or did you give it to God? See, I think we're messed up on this short end of God and our opinion of God. Maybe we don't have the right opinion of God because He can do anything. And He can use nitwits like us. Are you not? I am. Now, I am from Little Mud. Maybe you're not. But we do have problems, let's face it. If we're long enough here, we can see them. If we stay long enough. I only stay 5 days, so I have to leave, so I don't see them. Right? That's true. But you're here all the time, and you do see them, and you're supposed to love them anyway, and you're supposed to give to God, and you're supposed to support the mission program. You're supposed to love your pastor. We're supposed to do it out of a wonderful, joyful heart, no matter what's happening in our life. Circumstances has nothing to do with this. We're doing this for the Lord. And circumstances, the devil's going to try to stop us. Amen? He is. And he's going to try to stop us. Every turn you make, he's going to throw something in there to slow you down. And he's going to throw some snotty Baptist in front of you that's going to say something to you to irritate you. And we are a bunch of snotty Baptists sometimes. We irritate people. Have you noticed that? I'm trying to irritate you right now. Not really. Not really. I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying. We do irritate people. People get that way. But we need to love them anyway. Just love them, love them, love them. I don't care if they are irritating. Just love them. Put your arms around them and give them a big hug and a kiss if you have to. Amen. To get them right with God. Whatever it takes. Just be willing to do and go and as far as it takes to just serve the Lord Jesus. Amen. Because honestly, I don't know where else to turn. Can you tell me something that's better? I really don't know any place else to go. I don't know any place else to look for the help that I need when I need it. Other than Him. And sometimes I think we undervalue and we don't look at God. Really, because we stumble over our own selfishness. I think we are just kind of bred in America. I tell you, I stumble over myself so many times. I am so stinking selfish sometimes. And I stumble over myself and I say arrogant things to people that I shouldn't. You know what I'm saying? We are selfish. We're a selfish people. It's just bred into us. And until God conquers that in our life and makes us what we ought to be for Him, it's hard, it's tough to serve Him the way we should. But He's worthy. And we need to look at Him as He really is. He's everything we need. And sometimes we just don't see it. But He's everything we need. Look at the next verse. I close with verse 8, and God is able to make all grace. Oh my, all grace. Don't we need it? My, oh my, do we need the grace of God? I need it all the time to replenish, to recharge, to get ready to serve Him. I don't know, but I need the grace of God. In all, abound towards you that ye always having. I mean, look at these words, people. All sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I'm saying, have you prayed? And then what I'm going to challenge you to do before you fill out this tomorrow is this. Tonight, take a long look at your impression of our God. Take a long look and pray and see if you can't see Him in a greater light. We're saying all the way with Jesus. And it is. It's either success or not because of Christ. Take a good look at God tonight. See how great He is. And let me tell you, the devil's going to tell you he's going to give you two things on your card this week. Two different amounts of money. Now let me ask you something. Which one do you think God's is? I always get two every year. I have two prizes. The devil gives me one, and then God gives me another. I'm telling you, it's going to happen this week. Tomorrow you get up, you will have two prizes. You'll have two amounts of money to put down on your card. I promise you. If you firmly work with faith promise, the way that I think this church does, you'll have to let God work in your life and let's see Him tomorrow in the way that He really is. He is all in all. All grace may abound in our life that we can really see Him and serve Him the way that He really wants us to. We stumble. Get back up. Get back up. You're having problems. Get back up. Get back up. It's for Christ. Amen? Don't fall. Get back up. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. God, we thank You so much for Your wonderful, wonderful love toward us. Help us to really see it the way that You would have us to, each and every one in this room, dear God, we pray. Help this church to experience God's love more than ever before. God, we'll thank You for it. Bless us, forgive us, use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.